Between the Ribs with host Jonathan Morris, fourth generation farmer. First-hand insight into farming, faith, and family, as only Jonathan can bring. Between the Ribs. Between the Ribs on Florida Man Radio.
Got on my way. Florida Man Radio, what's cracking, lacking? It's Saturday evening, cracking Steven. Kissed my baby and got my butt to work this morning. Got an hour and 45 minutes, and I'm steam rolling. And we got some stuff to talk about on Between the Ribs. Farm, faith, family, future. I added that. Somebody get with the promotions department to tell them it's now 4S instead of 3. In the studio with me, let's just get straight to the business end of this. Heather Hippopotamus on the ones and twos. How are you, ma'am?
I am fantastic.
That is fantastic. Fantastic. Double fantastic back to you. Pawpaw could not be with us today. He is pushing Nana around Disney World. I think he's going to be in next week. We got a lot to talk about with logistics and trucking. But I brought in an expert because we have in the second or third segment a conversation about grocery stores and mamas and kids and families. Mama Morris is in the studio for the first time in a very long time. Welcome, Mama. Welcome.
Hey, babies.
So we are a local farm butcher shop, and we're open till 5 p.m. in Lake Mary at 101 North Country Club Road. And we have never been more important to you and your family than we are right now. The Bible says we are appointed for a time as now, and this is my effort appointment. Everything you think you know is built on lies.
You sit on a throne of lies.
Oh, yeah. And the destabilization of world governments are at hand, and they may be birthing the next world war. We'll get to that.
Fun.
NATO just woke up. Mm. Haiti just bumped another one. It's like a WWE wrestling match. High five the next prime minister's up.
Oh, wow.
You don't submit to the democratic power of America, and the CIA sends people down there to have you forcibly removed. Before we get to that, y'all know the number, but I'll give it to you. 321-339-1055. You can call, leave a text, or send a text. The open mics are working. You go to the app, hit the little button, leave a 30-second comment. I really want to see what you think and how you feel. So buckle up and listen close, because there's some things that have been transpiring in the last day and a half. And it's very shocking. Columbia, and I know it's funny, Shannon sent me this story, and it's a rock star story, so thank you very much for sending it my way. When he sent it to me, I guess because everything going on in the media, I heard Columbia University. And I was like, wow, Columbia University banned meat. Like, okay, they can't be that dramatic. But it's the country Columbia. And if you haven't heard this, Colombia is the first country to restrict U.S. beef ports due to bird flu outbreak. Why Colombia? That's the first question. And follow me, please follow me, because I'm gonna tell you so many things that you probably don't know, and you're gonna choke and vomit, clean it up, and then you're gonna go down to the butcher shop and find a local shop to buy from. Why Colombia? And I had the team, I had Amy and Heather working on why Colombia. That's the question. The reason I ask why Colombia and not China or Japan, because Colombia is minuscule on the purchasing of American beef. They're way down there. Like, in order, you've got Japanese, Chinese, Taiwanese. Is that the proper way to say Taiwan?
Yes.
People? Taiwanese. It's comp. This is okay. So bird flu is the banner, the flag they hung this out under.
I have just a quick question about bird flu.
It.
If you cook the meat, will it still have bird flu? Because I mean, there's not a lot of people eating the raw meat. I'm trying to figure out how this affects my dinner.
It doesn't. It doesn't, because you're not touching live mucous membranes of an animal, right? Where. The bird flu is alive and active, and it's it's duplicating, right? It's
multiplying.
It's multiplying.
Yeah.
You're not in that process. The guy who was milking a cow and got cow snot on him, and then ate a sandwich without washing his hands, was a isolated incident. Okay. The other thing is, And since you brought it up, I'm going to kind of skip to it. Why aren't they banning pork? Because
if you cook it, you don't get it?
Well, no, but because pork is the only animal we share for simplicity lung stuff with.
Right.
All right? Pigs and humans are the only two things that can share lung stuff. That's our chain. If a pig can get it and it's crazy in the pig world, then it can be crazy in our world. Mm. All right? Cows cannot give it to humans unless... You're playing with their snot. You're milking them. And Colombia is not restricting milk or milk products or cheeses. It's beef. Now, I will say this, and everybody that knows this, that when an old milker, for lack of a better word, an old girl just ain't giving milk no more, and she's nothing but skin and bones and a sack of dried up milk, they send them to the slaughterhouse by the thousands. Mm.
What else are you supposed to do? I mean, if they're have another baby and then produce milk again?
Well, they get to a point 18, 19 years old where they just can't reproduce anymore.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And then they stop AI them and they stop making them make milk. And there's a whole life cycle to a dairy cow. So a lot of those old milkers get slipped in. And I was telling the ladies during the break, they should label beef like they label chickens. Like you go down to the grocery store and you have a roaster and you have a broiler. You know, they have all the different little names of the chickens, you know. So you know, oh, I'm buying a stewing chicken, I'm buying a rooster, I'm buying a roaster, I'm buying whatever I'm buying. They should let you know that, oh, you're buying a 19-year-old grinder. Because on the market, that's what they're called. They're called grinders.
Well, does it taste different?
Tastes terrible.
Oh.
If you took a Holstein cow, which that's what they are, the black and white cows that give milk. If you took a Holstein cow and you grind that sucker up and ate it by yourself, it'd be like eating them rocks outside.
That's not good.
Because, now don't get me wrong, I know a lot of people, and my grandpa used to do this. If he got a Holstein bull calf, he would keep it. Obviously, they can't get pregnant and have babies and make milk, but he would keep it and he'd feed that sucker. And even that, they just structurally made to
they're
produce.
They're not eating cows.
Right. They're structurally made to produce milk. They're not made to hang meat. They're very bony. They're very long. Their bones are big because they're heavy. And then they're producing 40 gallons of milk, 80 gallons of milk a day, depending on.
A day?
Oh, man. Yeah, them Holsteins, man. Yeah, they call them wash tubs. Yeah, they'll fill up a wash tub. Them Holsteins are big. Yeah, an adult Holstein on a milking cycle like that in the parlor, they're milking them twice a day with a machine, and they're getting massive amount of milk out of them. I'd say at least, man, with all the GMOs and the hormones and everything they give to it, like a normal cow on your farm, you're probably getting, when we were milking cows, like 5 gallons, 7 gallons of milking.
Yes.
You know?
Every day?
Twice a day.
Oh, yeah, twice
what?
A day.
What?
Yeah, so on a normal cow just hanging out in a family farm, no introduction to any other chemicals or additives, that cow produces, you know, maybe 15 gallons. In one of those factories, that cow's probably producing 25 gallons, maybe 30, every time they milk them, twice a day. Clockwork, every 12 hours. All right, but let's get back to what's going on here, because this is the deal, right? Colombia becomes the first country to restrict U.S. beef imports because of the bird flu outbreak. Colombia doesn't buy much beef from the U.S. But to see a country start restricting beef, how many countries will follow suit? This is like that first pebble, you know, that you step on, and then next thing you know, you got a shoe full of pebbles. Or like I like the broken windows theory. You go buy a house, there's no broken windows. Mm-hmm. The house is nice. Normally, it stays nice. You go buy a house, an abandoned house, and there's a broken window, and the next thing you know, there's another broken window and another broken window. And now people are enticed to just start throwing rocks all through the window. So this is kind of one of those theories where what's going to happen, and I believe 100%, it's all based on the lies that we have been told. This whole thing is based on a pack of lies. Cows are bad. They're bad for the environment. They're bad for soil. They're bad for the waterways. You know, down in Okeechobee, there was that big old fight on Lake Okeechobee about the cows and from their, you know, from their feces, you know, all the nitrates and the nitrogen coming out of them is causing the algae blooms and it's causing the lake to overgrow. And don't get me wrong, there's something to be said to a bunch of cows pooping in one area.
I mean, what else are we supposed to do with that?
Right. But
I mean,
but
can they sell it for fertilizer?
Well, we're talking about cows just out on pasture, and then it rains and it runs off.
Yeah, I mean,
right? So as the nitrogen leaches down into the soil, and they say it runs into the water. But a couple herds of cows are not destroying a 33-mile wide lake.
Right.
Does that mean you understand that? Again, the lies, the propaganda they tell us, because this is a machine that started years ago. It just didn't start today. They have kind of been setting this up. If you're in the cattle business or you know about cows or you live anywhere, and speaking of that, I've got a list right here. Beef cows by county, the top 34. All right, and this is across the country. All right, and we made, just so you know, Okeechobee, Florida, where Mama's from, those single wide trailers down there with no floors in them. That, she's not from that single wide trailer with no floor.
But you were, right?
I never lived in a single wide, no ma'am.
No.
We made number 11, Osceola County in Florida made number 12.
Oh, wow.
And then Polk County made number 17. So Florida, wow. And a lot of people don't understand this, Florida has two things. Well, we have more than two. We are the largest dairy production state east of the Mississippi River. All right? MacArthur Dairy is one of the largest dairies in the country.
Right.
We also are ranked number one in the country on what they call a calf-cow operation. Mm. We produce more mama cows having babies. Now, we don't have feedlots. Well, most of the feedlots start in Alabama, out by Ozark, and then they go out west, you know, toward, they're not many in Louisiana, it's kind of wet, but you get out into Texas, Amarillo, Kansas City, you know, all those places up there, that's where all the big feedlots. There's a lot of feedlots up in Chicago, people don't know that, you know, not like in the city, but in the outskirts. But we're a big cow state here. And back when I was in high school, there was a lot of amendments that came up and a lot of stuff from Bill Clinton that came up, vote no on Amendment 4, NAFTA, North American Free Trade Act. There was all kinds of things that they started to put into motion to really start to divert America away from American beef. And now we're looking at this explosion. And, of course, it's easy to blame Joe Biden and Obama, his daddy Obama, because they had a lot to play with it. But you go back all the way to the Clintons, and they started laying the foundation of the origin of labor laws, not having to tell people where beef comes from, opening up fair trade with South American countries that grow, can I say pea poor? Pea poor.
Sure, you can say that.
They grow pea poor quality everything, right? Their beef is subpar to American standards. But we bring in so much of it. Brazil actually is the number one exporter of beef in the country. So Brazil sells beef all over the world. I said country, I meant
world.
World.
Right.
Right.
We gotcha.
Brazil sells beef all over the world. All right. They sell more beef than America. Australia's number two. Then you get into America. And Heather had a great question. I should have let you ask it spontaneously, but I'm rolling here.
Go for it.
Why don't we all just keep our own beef? That was the question you asked.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Why do we sell beef and buy beef? And why do they sell beef and buy beef? Why don't we all just keep our own beef? Yeah. Because there ain't no money in that. There's no political power in that.
You mean trading with it between countries? There's no money swapping between countries that way.
You're right. So for the farmers, there's a lot more money of keeping your beef. Now, guys, listen, stay with me. There's a reason Colombia is restricting beef imports. It's not because of bird flu. All right? I'm going to get to it. There's so much more. We got to peel this back slow, right? But we're going to continue on the lies. Fake meat is good. Fake meat is better for the environment. These are lies, Helen. These aren't
right,
the truth.
Right.
All right. For the environment and for land production, cows are bad. Land production.
That's
cows
ridiculous.
Are bad. Florida Man Radio. We'll be right back.
Farmer. Getting you back between the ribs with Jonathan Morris on Florida Man Radio.
Distancing, it's actually a bigger plan. It's called social conditioning. They took away our privacy. There's always someone listening. The election's planning riots for the citizens. The government.
All right, sorry, I was doing a few notes. So before we went to break, the lies. Cows are bad for the government. Cows are bad for the environment. Fake meat is good for the environment. Cows are killing the environment. But, you know, climate change and all that bullcrap. But only American cows. Cows in the rest of the world are fine. It's inhumane, these poor, sensitive, helpless animals. But only the American cows. The rest of the cows in the world, they don't have feelings. Send them on a barge, put them on a
jet. That's amazing.
Isn't that crazy? How disingenuous.
Disingenuous. I like that.
But cows are also bad for land production.
Why?
Why?
Well, I'm not too mad. I was for a while, but I got over it. Wiley King was a great man, and he's an old-time settler to the city of Sanford. And he owned, which is now King's Crossing, where there's a brand new Publix, and several retail stores are going up. There's a Wawa going in. 261 family homes are going in, overlooking the executive Sanford Airport. Come on, are you kidding me?
Do you remember how loud it was out on the farm?
Yeah, with the planes and how close they would get as we're out there hoeing rows.
I thought they were going to literally land on the farm.
So this multi-purpose plaza they put in has a 4,800 square foot Publix in it, 261 apartment complex, townhome complex, a 1,400 square foot units, 1,200 square units, multiple 1,200 square units, and then it has 2,800 square foot units with patios and multiple parcels to be developed and also to contain a drive-through, which at some point they will put in a pharmacy, a liquor store, a Grand Nell Lounge, a Wawa, a bank, and other stuff. So just real quick in Seminole County, 260, all right, well, let me tell you, land production. When we had the farm, because it was 100% in agriculture, and this is no lie, every April we would go down to the tax office in Sanford, and we would write a check for $338. That was our ag tax exemption for having a farm. That's just part of being a farmer. You get a break on your taxes because you're producing food for the American people, and hopefully you make a little bit of money doing it. Do you know just the 261 apartment complex homes will bring $411,858 to Seminole County? Mm. Not counting 6% sales tax on every retail parcel. Now, Publix, because they're a giant the way they are, they get all kind of tax breaks and tax incentives. And I'm not knocking that. Hey, they're bringing jobs to the community, and they're, you know, they're getting people working, and they add a lot to the community, so great. If you're a big corporation, you get a tax break for getting 100 people to work, fantastic. I'm not mad about that. But what I'm getting at is cows in America are bad. They're not bad for us. We need them. We want to eat them. But they're bad for the government. They're bad for politicians. They're bad for the pockets of the politicians that they want to be lined. And they drive by these parcels. And they have these things called the developmental board of this county or that county. Mm-hmm. And I'm not picking on Seminole County. But every county has them. Orange County, Seminole County, Osceola County, Polk County. They all have them. Wherever you live, you know, up in the panhandle, you have one too. Matter of fact, I got a story I'm going to cover next week about some of the land things they're doing up in, I don't know if it's Holmes County, but somewhere up there in that area, Fort Walton, there's some land that's kind of being swindled away from old timers. So we're gonna kind of dig into that next week. But the developmental boards, these guys ride by. Now, these are paid commissioners, right? We vote on them, we elect them, and they want the best for the county. And they're riding around, they're like, man, like for instance, down in Pahokee just went broke, by the way. The city of Pahokee, where I was born and raised, just went broke as a city. They don't know what they're going to do. Palm Beach County is going to have to come in and bail them out, maybe annex them into a county. Pahokee may not exist as a city much longer.
Really?
Yeah, they just went broke. They finally broke the muck.
Oh, no.
The sign when you go into our town is her soil is her fortune. But they just built a $10 million marina. Now, we do have a beautiful lake down there, right? And they're doing away with some of the farmland and farm restrictions because they're reflooding because of the Everglades Restitution Act, or Restoration Act. And I'm tying all this in now, okay? So stay with me, please. So they ride by and they look at these cows and they look at the sugarcane, they look at the vegetables and they look at the sod, and they look at all this stuff. And then they ride back to their offices and they pull up their county revenue books and they're like, man, that guy's got 80 acres. He's paying $300. They start doing the calculator thing that they do. And they're like, man, if we put in 260 homes straight up in the air, that's $500,000 a year. We got to figure out how to get rid of that guy. Mm. A lot of farms in Florida, a lot of farms across the country are leased out. Multi-generational families that had the opportunity to buy land way back when land was $25, $35, $45 an acre, and they had the money. And they were settling different parts of the country. They had the opportunity to buy this land. And they bought up a bunch of it. And then as their kids got older, some of them became doctors and lawyers and dentists and school teachers, and they didn't want to farm no more. But the family were settlers, and they're like, we're going to own this land forever. And that's what Mr. King was. Mr. King was a settler. And his son, I'm not going to say his name on the radio, but his son, Mr. King, drove out to the farm and told me, he's like, Jonathan, if you can come up with $5 million, because that was the tax burden, because when he bought the farm, he deferred the taxes and then forgot about it for 97 years. he died, I think. Well, he was died at 97, so I think he bought it when he was like 18, right? When he got back from the war, he bought it. So for 79 years, he deferred the taxes.
Wow.
It was $5 million. Now, the tax burden died with Wally, Mr. King. So right. He told me, he's like, Jonathan, if you could come up with the tax burden before I die, I'll sell it to you. I was like, Mr. King, I don't got $5 million. He said, but I'm telling you, my son, before I'm cold, this place will be sold. Just don't build no more. Because I was building barns, and I was putting in pumps and wells, and I dug a four-wheel drive track for us in the back. We flooded the back road, and we had pig pens in Bruce's house, and we were just, you know.
We had the retirement community.
Yeah, we built the villages for the pigs. we had a couple of pigs we didn't want to kill because they started our business up here. We went broke. And we built our business on a couple of pigs. So I went over to one corner of the farm where the sun kind of sets a little early because of the tree line, and we built the villages.
The villages.
And them jokers were the villages. They were popping out litters.
Of
pigs, like clockwork. But anyways, one day this SUV pulls into the farm. I hadn't even got the word yet that Mr. King passed away. SUV pulls into the farm, and I'm in the back, covered in mud. The guy gets out, introduces himself. I was like, yeah, I know who you are. He's like, well, I got some really bad news. My dad passed away this morning. I was like, man, thank you for coming out. I was like, I'll go by the house later. Blah, blah. He's like, oh, no need. We've already got him down at the funeral home, and we're doing a quick service. It'll be, you know, we're not even having. I was like, oh, you're not going to have like a. So long story short, before he got back in his car, he handed me a 30-day notice to vacate the property. We've been farming it for 15 years. 15 mm-hmm. years. All right. That's a beautiful place right now. And they named it King's Crossing after Wally, Mr. King. But that place is going to make somewhere between $2 and $3 million a year for Seminole County and the city of Sanford because they annexed it into the city.
That's just on taxes, right?
That's just on taxes.
Right.
Yes. All right. We were paying $338 a year.
Yeah.
They don't want us. They don't care about us. They don't want us to feed each other. They want to teach us our lies, have our foundation built on lies. They want to break the farmers. They want to break the American way of life, which is farming. If you believe in the Bible, the very first thing that God did after he got all this stuff done, he made a garden and he put a man in it and he told him to work it.
Right.
Okay? They want to break the farmer. This is America, by the way. Mm-hmm. They want to break the farmer. They want to starve the people. Then they're going to save the people. Mm-hmm. Then they're going to control the people. Mm. It's already happening. Now, let's get to Colombia. We export, USA, we export more beef than we import more beef than we export.
Mm-hmm.
So we are one of the largest producers of beef in the world, but yet we sell more of it than we I got this backwards. We buy more than we sell.
Right.
Okay. We ship our beef out, and I'm gonna take you through this now because I know I've had people come to our shop and say, "Man, why is your ground beef $8.99 a pound when I can go down here and get it for this and that and different, you know, $5 a pound, $6 a pound, $4.49? Do you have a little, what's your Aldi's deal down there?
Oh, I don't know. I've stopped. I mean, not Aldi's. I've just stopped with meat. Okay. I was just. All the horror stories you've told me, like just today,
are you ready for this?
Glad I know my farmer.
So we are now Paraguay, by the way. Is that how you say it?
Yes.
Just got approved as another country who, by the way, they have subpar growing standards, mm-hmm. meaning they don't have any. They just got approved by the USDA to be a authorized country that we buy cows from to ship into America to mix with our cows.
To lessen our meat.
To give you
crap meat.
Yeah, but not to give you a better price at the market.
No.
It's to offset low margins.
That's just crazy.
And that's why I'm trying to slow my talking down. I want you to really stay with me because it's almost like you could write a 20-page novel about 20 book novel about this, like 20 pages, because you almost can't wrap your head around it. All right, so let's go back to the first impeachment of Donald Trump. Now, everybody, stay with me. This is a roller coaster ride. If you go back to 11:57 p.m., right before they did the first impeachment of Donald Trump, and you go over to the Nancy Pelosi Office of Hall of Fame of Destruction of America, she dropped the gavel on the reinstitution or reinstatement of the origin of labor laws, country of origin labor law.
Right.
Donald Trump banned that. He outlawed it. He said that every American should know where their food's coming from and have the opportunity to buy it or not buy it.
Yeah, that's not even a political side to be on. That's just...
You would think.
You need to... Why wouldn't you want to know? Like, why are they hiding that?
Because of the money. Because the money that they get paid from the people who they let into the country with beef and pork and chicken into the American food chain, it should be unconstitutional. It should be against the law. But Nancy Pelosi's husband is also the same guy that's like he's the best guesser on Wall Street or something. One of her firms or something. They know how to trade stocks better than anybody else.
Oh, best guesser. I got it. Okay, right? Yeah, right.
Yeah, he's the best. He's like, man, I'm just lucky, man.
He is.
I was using the bathroom, and I thought, man, I need to sell those shares right now. Who knew? Man, I was lucky. That was a good poop. Man, I got that up. So right now, we import Mexicans. We do. That's a true statement. Oh, you heard it here first on the Jonathan Morris Show. We import Mexicans. We import beef from all over the world. Right now, we just added Paraguay. Other countries include but are not limited to Brazil, Uruguay, Australia, Namibia, New Zealand, Mexico, Canada, Japan, and you guessed it, China. Mm-hmm. What did I say wrong? Namibia?
Was it Nambia?
That's it. You nailed it.
Okay.
So this is where it gets disgusting. The Japanese and Chinese have a high quality taste for prime beef. They don't eat choice. They don't eat select. They eat valued upper choice, which is one step down from prime, and they eat prime. 75% of our prime cattle go to Japan first, then to China, then to Taiwan, in that order. Japan's the big dog because that's all they eat in their restaurants. All right, Wagyu beef was actually done for Japan. That's where Wagyu beef comes from, okay? They set the standard in what prime beef is supposed to look like with marbleization and fat ratio and muscle ratio. So we sell all of our stuff out, okay? We sell out. Oh, my goodness. Where did I have this note set? I am so sorry. I lost my note. Did I give it to you?
No.
Oh, okay. This is what we ship. We ship our prime, our upper choice, and then we ship our tripe, our tongue, our hearts, and our kidneys. That's what they buy. They're on to something. And Americans are on to it now. Americans coming in now. How much organ meat do we sell now?
It's insane. A lot. It's crazy. We can't keep up.
They don't understand why these Japanese people be living to 197. Because they eat all this organ meat and they only eat prime. They eat high-fat beef and they eat organ meat.
Right.
And they live forever.
And we sell all of our best cuts
to them.
Japan, China, Taiwan.
And guess what they give us back?
What?
Crap. So if you know anything about an animal, when you break down an animal and you have what they call the primals, and now different animals grade different. So you have animals that are like crap, institutional grade animals. They're just like, they ain't got no frame. They didn't digest food well. They're scraggly. Maybe they had a parasite, a mite. Maybe they had liver worms or lung worms. They just didn't do good as an animal, right? They should have been put down in the back somewhere. They should not have been sent to the food chain.
That's so hard.
But they did. They still pull those animals and they pull their loins. They're tenderloins, they're prime cuts, and if they grade good, they're actually stamped prime. So an animal can be prime, or an animal can be choice, or an animal can be select, or an animal can be dog food grade, or an animal can be institutional grade. Every animal is different, and they sonogram most of them. In the big slaughterhouses, the animals walk through, they sonogram them, and they say, that's prime, that's choice, that's upper choice, that's lower choice, that's select, that's institutional, that's not fit for human consumption. All right, every animal's innards are opened up and inspected by the USDA when they get slaughtered. Now, in the big plants, the reason they have all these recalls is because when they're killing 10,000 cows, 10,000 lungs go into one barrel. Oh. So when the USDA finds a worm or a flute, a lung flute, or something inside the lung that's like, whoa, this animal had a parasite. We need to stop production. They don't know what animal that's hanging because there's 10,000 lungs and 10,000 cows.
Yeah.
At a small place, you're like, hey, we just killed three cows. We got three lungs. Oh, well, that was that cow. Each cow had a lung. Okay, that's the cow we need to stop production on.
Right.
We've never had that at Organic Meat Sports Family Farms. We don't get down like that. We take care of our animals. Right? So now that you have stripped the animal of its greatness, right, all the good stuff, what you have left is what we call trim or our lean meat.
Mm.
It's the leftovers.
Right.
So I have a 55-gallon drum in the back. And Shannon was there today when I had to pull a brisket off of a cow for a person. And then I was showing him we aged this cow out 30-plus days. So it had a lot of stuff on top that was just, you didn't want to eat it. You probably could have cooked it down, but it would have had a raunchy flavor. And it's just where the mold particles and stuff that help the meat and the enzymes of the meat break down. You trim all that off, and we discard it in a dumpster that goes away with waste management. We don't try to find ways to do something with it.
Right.
But that's called trim. And normally that's a 50-50, 50 fat, 50 meat. And it's not an edible, marketable product until the barge comes from China. Florida Man Radio. We'll be right back.
Getting you back between the ribs with Jonathan Morris on Florida Man Radio.
All right, let's trim this out, get rid of the fat, and finish this story up. Because we got to get to the reality of the struggle is real at the grocery store, and we don't know how y'all do it. So we send out our prime, we send out our best, and then we are left with what we have called a 50-50 trim. It's not really a great edible product because some people are like, man, I love 50-50. Well, you say that too. It's all gummed up and greasy and you can't eat it because it's just too much fat. And it's not that good inside fat from the kidneys and the belly area that really renders down good. It's just that clumpy, glumpy fat, you know, that you know, like the guy that's got sweatpants on, he keeps reaching down and adjusting it. That kind of fat. You don't want to eat that.
That's disgusting.
You don't want to eat that kind
that's
of fat.
That's disgusting.
Why did I get a total visual of that?
Did you smell it, too? Did you smell it?
Oh, man.
Did you smell it?
Come on. Stop.
Whoa, that's from under. That's from under fat. Fat from under them sweatpants.
Oh, my goodness. So
we have this trim, right? And now I need you to understand, because a magical mathematical equation is fixing to happen, and you're going to be like, what? Get my pencil, my pen, my calculator out, because this don't make sense. So listen to the numbers. We're left with a product that we call ungradable trim, 50-50. That's what it's called.
Ungradable means it's trash, right?
Yes, means it needs to be discarded.
The
USDA will not let it go to market, okay? Especially not in today's world where, like, they're getting ready to do this law where you have to have added sugars in every place, like every not grocery store, but, like, fast food marketplaces.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about this with the girls.
Yes.
About a frappe, chappe, latte, marble, cocoa,
oh,
whatever.
You have to have the warning, the sugar warning.
It says there's 42 grams of sugar, but they don't tell you about the 97 they added after that. So really, right. There's like 138 grams of sugar in it. So in the world we live in, this is a product that definitely would not make it to market. But don't worry, the barges are coming. With their skinny, wiry, rangy, starved cows that they ain't got no money in them. They're called dirt cows. You ever rode by a farm and thought, man, I ought to call somebody about that cow. Right?
Yeah.
You ever rode by a farm and be like, man, the buzzard just riding on his back. Like the buzzard knows this dude's fixing to die. Buzzards are all the fence. They're all over the trees. But there ain't no cows laying in the ground yet. They're still walking around. That's how bad these cows are. Then they put them on barges because they're not swimming to America. They're not flying them to America. They put them on these sweat box barges.
Aww.
Now, where are all the PETA, all the crap hole people that cows have feelings, cows are sensitive, cows' lives matter, all the crap we have to go through in America? Oh, I thought you were tuning in on me. I see
no,
you.
No, figuring. I am tuning right? in. I'm just, I mean,
all
I'm
the crap,
in.
All the crap that the American farmer has to go through, but yet these sweat box barges bringing cows over by the thousands. Across our waterways. Oh, by the way, remember? Cows in Okeechobee were pooping in the grass, and it was affecting the blooms, and it was ruining the lake.
Right.
Where do you think all the cows go doo-doo on the barge?
Where they're standing.
And where do you think they flush it out and dump it out?
In the ocean.
Huh. We ain't killing the oceans. None of this matters. It's a foundation of lies. Everything you know about our food system in America is a lie, and that's why I tell people all the time, I need your money bad. We're in a bad spot, right? I know we make it look good, but, man, margins are bad.
It's bad.
All right? I need you to shop at Morganic Meats. I need you to go to morganicmeats.com and buy a meat box and have it shipped to your house. But if you can't get to me, if you aren't close enough to me, if you don't have a way to order for me, find a local farmer that's got dirty hands and a handshake that you can tell he works outside and some dirty cut-up boots. Don't go in there looking for a clean white apron and just box meat. Like Shannon held a cow while I pulled a brisket off of today.
That's disgusting.
No, that was awesome. That's how it's supposed to be done. We got to get away from that's disgusting. I want to be displaced from my food. I don't want to know where the food came from. We got to get out of that mindset.
Just slap a label on it and I'll be fine.
Yeah, the original label laws. Thanks, Nancy Pelosi. So now these cows come over and they get killed. And do you know what it means to be mechanically separated?
I do.
That there is a machine that pulls them apart.
So we skin our cows because that's kind of like the best way to do it. So you don't mess up the meat. You don't put more trauma to the muscle structure and you don't bruise the meat as you're harvesting the animal. It's another thing to have an animal hanging by its hooves and then have a machine grab it and the whole hide comes off.
That's disgusting.
Okay. And then those bones and those machines go through this massive grinder.
The
bone dust. Oh, so, yes.
You've never had Google your ground beef.
Heather refuses to Google bone dust and meat glue.
I know about meat
glue.
Meat.
That's the pink stuff.
That's how your pork loin is together and looks like a pork loin. When you swear that it's not ground up pork. You know, no, they sliced it for me real nice. Sorry, I'm not making fun of you. They sliced it real nice. It's a real product. Google meat glue and pork loins. All right. So now they should have. Now listen, you ready? Because of the bone fragment, the bone dust, the cartilage. Now, we're not talking about fat anymore. Now we're talking about bone product.
Right.
And meat. They have a product that when it stands alone, it is unfit for human consumption.
Right.
Guess what it's called? 50-50
trim. 50-50
trim,
yeah.
Because of the bone dust and the cartilage and the knuckles and the ligaments and the gel and all this stuff.
Are we getting like...
Hang on.
Gelatin from it, not gelatin.
No, you're not getting anything good from it. Stop.
Okay.
Stop. Just stop.
I'm trying.
So they take our 50-50 crap fat beef product.
Calcium.
Stands alone, can't do anything. They take the bone dust, bone fibers, the head, the brains, the ears, all the stuff you don't want to eat, mixed with beef. They call it 50-50 trim. Now, y'all ready?
No.
I wish we had a camera, a TV, somebody watch this mathematical equation. We're going to take 50-50 trim and 50-50 trim, and we're going to slap them together.
And it's still 50-50 trim.
And it's 80-20 ground beef in the grocery store.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Or guess what? They can have the option to label it 90-10 lean. Because the cows that came over on the water were lean, just lean enough.
Because they were starving on the water.
So they can label them 90-10 lean.
Yes. So we should go with 70-30?
Add it to the 50-50.
No, you should buy from a local butcher. Stop buying beef from Tyson. Stop buying beef from IPA. Stop buying beef from National. I'm not going to talk about Eddie's because it's a place close to our place that sells meat, and they do a great job with the presentation of it. I'm not talking bad about it. They're a great place. People love them, all right? But the same truck that backs up to them backs up to Winn-Dixie.
Right.
All right? There's another place out towards Sanford area. The same place that backs up to the Walmart backs up to them, all right? So that people go in these boutique mom-and-pop butcher shop stores – markets, they're like, oh, yeah, I only buy my beef from this guy, from
because
that guy.
Because of presentation.
And they're like, yeah, yeah, well, why do you buy there? Oh, because it's local. And well, where's their farm? Where's their animals? Where's I don't know. Well, they have a store right there on the corner. I know that, right? There's a store in Pine Hills, right, that has a meat shop on the corner of Pine Hills, right? And they got a semi that backs up to them. You got to know where your food comes from. They're killing us, and they're killing us on purpose. So because of... the mandatory no country of origin law brought about, and I'm not trying to make it political, but it is political. Trump outlawed it. During the Trump administration, we ate 17% more American beef than we do right now.
Wow.
That may not sound like a lot. It's only 10 million pounds a month. 10 million pounds a month more American beef was in the market under Trump than it is right now. Okay? when you think about percentages, the number of metric tons of beef that is moved in the country is so high, right? Because people are like, well, 17% is not that big of a deal. Really? Well, cut off 17% of your body. 70% is not a big deal. Cut off 17% of your body. Biden loves China. It's a fact. Now, this is why it's happening. And I'm going to stop the train because the train stops with money. Meat packers in America, due to political oversight and legislation that has been written, can use legally, they can use imports to help manage their low margins and reduce purchase of high-priced USA cattle. They often import the lean beef from the country, blah, 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 and they mix it in with the U.S. supply, and they call it hamburger, or they call it fancy grind, or they call it fine grind, or they call it lean beef, and they pump it out to you, and then you wonder why a local farmer is selling beef for $7, $8, $9 a pound ground beef instead of $3, $4.99, because we don't bring in crap dirt cows to mix it in with our prime cows. Mm. We'll be right back. Yep.
Back between the ribs with Jonathan Morris on Florida Man Radio.
We got a rock star governor, but why is it so expensive in the grocery store? Why has everything skyrocketed? Oh, I don't know. Every time we turn around, another 120,000 chickens, another 120,000 chickens are dying. Mm. Y'all heard about that fire in Ketch County?
No.
I did.
Thank you. You did.
You're welcome.
You're very welcome. I mean, you're very, thank you. This is what alarms me, right, on these non-planned accidental fires. And Mama, she's chomping at the bits here. We got the official report from a mother of 8 and then also a chime-in from a mother of 3 on what the actual struggle, the reality of the struggle of families shopping, the shopping experience at a grocery store. And we don't even buy meat, eggs, dairy, vegetables. Mm. I don't know how the rest of y'all do it.
I don't know.
The rest of us don't have 8 children.
We got 3, and then you and Billy. That's 5. That's 5 of y'all.
Yeah, you have a family of 5.
Oh, okay. I see what you just said. Okay, no, but it's still not the same as having 8 children that are growing.
We got 6 at the home right now?
Yeah, we have 6 at home. But even when I go, I went in.
You had to ask how many kids you have living at home.
We got a floater.
Yeah.
We got one floater.
We have ones that come in and out.
We got Lena. Lena's a floater. And then if you call the yard children, got Jesse James and Victor and Jesse Schillen and Isaac
yard
Michelle.
Children.
Yeah, them boys just be popping in 2 o'clock in the morning, front door come flying open.
Yeah.
We know when the door opens and Brody doesn't bark, it's a friendly. You know? And sometimes we got, anyways, all right. Amy and I went to the grocery store. It was last Sunday.
Yes.
We did a little snatch day, a little veg out. What do you call it? Whatever. Munchy day.
Yes.
And we were blown away. So I want you to tell the story at the perspective of a mom or do you need me to tell the story? You got it. We were talking about it. It was the chips that blew you away first.
Yeah.
And then we went through the BOGO stuff because we were at Publix.
Yeah. Well, it's happened to me more than a few times. So
yes.
First of all, when I usually shop because we were very fortunate that my husband's a farmer. So I just buy ingredients to add to the meal, to get things through, if I didn't make any broth, chicken broth, basil leaves or things like that we don't grow. Just to cook one meal, even just for spaghetti or something, I don't get out of Winn-Dixie for less than $60 for one meal. And that's a cheap meal. And Jonathan and I went to the grocery store the other day, and we go to, do chips and things. We were just going to have a fun day with the kids. And for like 12 ounces, it was, well, first of all, we don't buy soda very often. And soda was how much?
Soda was like $3.39.
Well, it was like 2 for $10 on the Mountain Dew.
Yes,
for
yes,
2 liters.
Yes,
2 liters.
Or their 6-pack.
No, the two, just the Pepsi products. 2 for $10.
They probably had the Publix brand or Winn-Dixie brand, 3 for $5.
No, not anymore. Check. Listen, I was
$2.89 for Dr. Thunder, which we used to get, like you said, 3 for $5. If you want to get the Dr. Thunder.
It's 79 cents.
Yes.
Back in the day.
Yes, and then the chips. You know, I'm not good with numbers, but tell them about chips.
So I'm a very brand specific chip guy. I'm very bougie. I don't eat Lay's. I don't want fake Ruffles. I want Ruffles and Doritos in my dip sauce. That's how I roll.
Okay.
So Amy's like, we're looking at the chip thing, and the Ruffles and the Doritos are $2 for $10.
Yeah, they were two for ten.
We're like, oh my gosh, two for
two
10
bags of chips
on a bag of chips. That's ridiculous.
Were they even party size?
They said family size.
Oh, that's right.
But to open them up.
But they were small. They were only like 14 ounces.
It looked like a regular bag.
It wasn't the big bag anymore.
Right.
So Amy says, Jonathan, the Lay's Wavies. Or
3 for $10.
It was buy two, get one free.
Right, which made it three for ten. Yeah.
Because they were $4.99 a piece. And right. I was like, Amy, I don't eat late. I won't put those in my mouth. I mean, there ain't no reason to buy them. You know? And something caught my eye about the bag. And I was like, wait a minute, let me look at this. So the bags were tall and long. And when I picked it up, it was 5.5 ounces.
5.5 ounces.
I swear by life.
No, he's not lying.
And go look. I think they call it shrinkflation or Bidenflation, whatever they call it. I was like, five and a half ounces.
That's how much product you get out of the bag.
And then, of course, people are like, ain't that the guy that owns a butcher shop? Why is he even hollering about 5.5 ounces? 5.5 ounce bag of chips for $4.99. Buy two, get one free. Right. So we did the math real quick, and it was cheaper to get the 2 for $10.
Right.
And you got a better brand. I like Doritos. And I like Ruffles. That's my deal. So then we're talking about spaghetti and sauces. And sometimes Amy will buy the
Prego.
Not the Prego, but also that chicken broth stuff. You get some chicken broth.
Oh, yeah.
To your meals.
Yeah, and they have the BOGOs at the Publix. And if you look at the fluid ounces, which now I'm starting to look at because it's ridiculous.
I made her crazy.
Yeah. They have this BOGO right in front of you, but if you go and you just buy the regular big one, you're actually saving more money off the shelf. And so it's like, wow, they're deceiving you. They're trying to say, wow, look, they're trying to make you feel good about buying a product at a cheaper price, but they're really getting you because the company's making more money. Because you're not going to take the time to go to the aisle to buy the regular product.
And they're hoping that they got, and I'm not picking on Publix, right? I mean, I'm a Winn-Dixie guy. I was raised on Winn-Dixie. I actually was raised on Foodway, but Foodway and Pahokee. I'll give a shout out to Mr. Boris. If you're listening, I'm sorry about that $20 I took from you. I did give it back. I paid it back after my daddy beat me. But they get you up front in all this pretty design, this layout. It's up by the deli. It smells good. They got the apples out, everything shiny. You know, they got the BOGO, and you're like, BOGO, man, this is awesome. You're not even price checking. You're not size checking. You're just grabbing stuff and throw it in your cart. And then I kind of just, because I'm a numbers guy, I look at numbers. So I saw it. I was like, man, that don't make sense. That don't look like the normal can of sauce. It's skinnier. And so we went around to the aisle. And this was on a different trip. I'm like, so I'm looking at the BOGO sauce I got. And yeah, I got $6.99, but I will get one free. But they were like 12.5 ounce bottles. You go around to a Prego aisle, and it's 19.5 ounces in the spaghetti sauce bottle for $7.49.
Right.
And you're like, wow,
Good grief. It's like $2 at Aldi. But y'all do your thing. Whatever.
So. Well, maybe we should start going. Well, we were even talking about just going to 7-Eleven after you have kids in sports. Going to 7-Eleven, just getting some Slurpees or a Gatorade.
No.
You used to go in with $5. I can't get out of there for a $20 bill sometimes. I don't know how a normal family who has a normal paycheck, who work a 9-to-5 job, make it just from buying groceries. Jonathan saw a story where a teenager is learning to buy her own things, or college student, she picked up a pack of chicken, and she looks at her mom and says, I have to work 2 hours to buy 3 chicken breasts.
It was a package, 3 chicken breasts in the saran, you know, what's not saran wrap, but this little silver
wrap. Shrink wrap.
And the price of the chicken breast was almost 2 hours. Now, she's 18 years old, working a part-time job, but it was almost 2 hours of her pay.
I totally get it.
And she's like, there's 4 of us in the family, so we have to buy 2 packs of chicken breasts.
Right.
Because one don't feed us. And she's like, and it takes me almost 2 hours to buy one. And she looks at her mom and goes, I don't know if I sent you that audio or not. She looks at her mom and she's like, I don't want to be an adult. I don't know how y'all do this.
Same, girl, same.
And it's so our children are watching us go to the grocery stores. And I had a guy come in yesterday and tell me, he asked me the price of my ribeyes. I told him $26.99 a pound, which I think is a fantastic price for the product we sell. And he basically looked at me and goes, I can't afford it. I'll come back when they're cheaper. And I was like, dude, I'm sorry. They're not getting cheaper.
Right.
Everything I touch is going up. Everything I touch
is going
up.
We're selling it as low as we can. We're not making any money.
I was like, I wish I could sell it for $29.99 or $30 because then I'd be making some money. I'm barely making money on a ribeye at $26 a pound. It's just the cost it takes to raise our cows.
Right.
Thank goodness to the good Lord, our cows are good and soft. So we can sell sirloins for $14.99 because there's so much of a sirloin on a cow. And people can buy that. You'd be surprised. We sell a lot of sirloins now.
Man, our sirloins are good. I had a man come in and say, we bought New York strips from doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
From Publix, and we brought your sirloins. And he said, every one of my kids fought over the sirloin. He's like, I could not believe that I paid this money for the New York strips. He was like, I wanted yours, but they had them on sale. I got your sirloins, and the kids fought over them. He said, your sirloins are better than Publix's New York strips.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say about this whole grocery talk. I used to be a couponer. And so when I quit my first radio job to have children, I went from, you know, having a paycheck to focusing on the coupons, the sales, and getting all the deals I could. And I was actually able to, like, make money on our groceries.
Awesome.
So, like, then that couponing show came about and ruined it for everybody because you could no longer stack the coupons, which was legal. You could stack a store coupon and a manufacturing coupon. And there used to be, like, Publix used to take the Target or the Walmart
whatever was the cheapest.
Right. So they would price match. They would use. So I focused on all of that, and I'd walk out of the grocery store never paying a dime with $30 worth of fresh vegetables and stuff from them. It was amazing. Then things changed and it got harder. And being back to work for the last like 5 years, I haven't couponed like at all. But I do go to Aldi. So instead of spending $6 on that bag of chips, if my kids want chips that bad and they're going to eat junk food anyways, they're going to eat the cheaper junk food, which is still junk food, for a third of the price.
Yeah,
I get it.
When I go in there, I make sure that if it's a thing of Rice Krispie treats, okay, there's six of them in there, as long as it's under $2, six snacks for less than $2 is a deal for me versus going to Publix where that same pack would be $7 or $8.
Right.
Yeah, or maybe even $9.50 or $12. Yeah,
so while I don't like giving my kids the crap food,
right?
You know, if that's what you're gonna do, because I mean that's what kids want. And if you're a parent and you're not giving your kids crap food, you're lying.
Yes, of course.
I mean, it's not like we do that all the time, but no. Like for their snacks. But yeah, so I cut back on at least the things that would be extra and really expensive. We're getting for cheaper. So I wish I could go back to the coupons. It's just happening.
But let me ask you this with Aldi's, because we've noticed just toilet paper, paper towels, you know, saran wrap, soap, body soap, razor blades, the stuff we buy, right? How much more expensive it is. I mean, all we did.
So as far as Aldi goes, I can speak on this because I was spending about $150 a week for a family of five. I have three kids. One's 5 years old all the way to 14.
Mm-hmm.
For a family of five, I was spending like $150 a week. And with doing that, I'd also, you know, buy a couple extra cans of tomatoes or whatnot. Keep our canned food stocked up so that we had, you know, extra for when, you know, S hits the fan.
Right.
I just had a brain
fart. You used to spend $150 a week.
Yes, and now spending $200 a week.
So you're up $50.
Yeah. So about 25%.
So you're up $10 a person.
No, it's up 33%.
Yeah, you're up $10 a person.
Mm-hmm.
And you have 5-year-olds still.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that makes sense because we're probably up $15 to $18 a person.
Oh, yeah.
Because
but
that's why, because we have 12-year-olds and 14-year-olds and 17-year-olds. We don't have a 5-year-old anymore that's getting a 5-year-old deal.
Right.
You know, we got.
Yeah, and I just saw a thing where they did inflation from 2020 to 2024. Eat produce, meat, Dove body soap is up 54% in price. Everything is basically between 49% to 54% higher than it was 4 years ago.
Well, again, everything we know is a lie. Everything they tell us, everything they push down our throat. Is a lie. The Bible says, "Without vision, my people perish." We are in a perishing process right now, as Americans, as people, because People get so set their ways in politics. Well, I'm a Democrat. I hate Donald Trump. Okay, great. Hate him. I don't care. Well, I'm a Republican. I hate this. Great. I don't care. But the biggest, one of the biggest lies right now being told is this inflation lie. Oh, inflation is 7%. Well, okay, let's pause. If you go back to 2019 and then you add from 2019 to 2020 and then you hold that number and then you go from 2021, hold that number, 2022, hold that number. You know, there's this thing we used to do in math called finding a common denominator or finding an average. It wasn't sum. What was it? Well, the sum is the addition. It was an average something. I can't remember the name of the word. It was in math. Somebody let me know what it is. Send me a text. But so you add these numbers from 2019 to where we're at in 2024, and then they say, well, inflation is 7%. We got it under control. Well, it went up 7% this year.
Right.
But if you add up all the interest, the increases from 19,
right,
it's up 54% almost.
Exactly.
Across the board.
Across the board, yeah.
All right? It's time to start washing in the river. Let the limestone.
I'm totally okay with that.
Let the limestone wash your dirt away. Florida Man Radio, 120,000 chickens killed at a fire that got out of control. What? And we got a rock star governor. Keep the police off the farms. Florida Man Radio, we'll be right back.
Between the Ribs with Jonathan Morris on Florida Man Radio.
Look up, look up, look up at the smoke. Oh, it's a bird, it's a plane. No, it's Chicken Jack in Catch County. Oakdale Egg Farms. Oh, man. Yeah, we just getting out of bird flu.
What?
We're just getting out of bird flu.
Okay.
And now we got 120,000 dead chicken laying eggs?
What?
But egg, were they considered bird flu chickens?
Egg laying chickens?
Well, oh, no, wait. No, it was a fire.
It don't matter.
Right?
Now they're dead.
They're smoked chickens.
Oh,
but
hey,
you can't even eat them.
Wait.
Dang it.
Why can't we? Can we sell them as fire roasted chicken?
No, you can't. They're
are
gone.
Are these eggs going to be hard boiled?
No, they're flame roasted.
This is what gets me, right?
We can spin it. We can spin it. Where
Catch
we
County Fire Marshal Jason Wynn said,
these are crispy.
The four-alarm fire started around 4 p.m. And due to the materials the barn was made out of,
wood,
it couldn't contain the fire.
Because it burned.
It burned, burned, burned. The ring of fire.
And it we don't burned. Need no
water. Let them burn. Sorry. Let them chickens burn.
Burn, chicken, chicken.
Burn, chicken, chicken,
burn.
Chicken. He said the calls originally.
Oh, my gosh. You guys are such farmers.
Hey, you ready? You ready for this?
Go
hey,
for it.
We got calls originally started by saying there's smoke coming from a building.
You huh. don't say.
Huh. By the time the Lewiston City Fire Department got there, the flames were seen coming through the roof. So average response time for a fire department is like 3.5 minutes.
Oh, that's fast.
No, this is the way it is. I don't know how far.
I guess that wouldn't be too fast if you were burning.
And let me just say this real quick. Let me just say this. Every chicken house in America has a water system. Chickens got to drink all day long.
Oh.
PETA won't let chickens thirst to death.
No, of course not. I mean, I think the farmers don't want them to thirst to death.
Yeah,
it's bad for business.
PETA. Well, I'm just saying. Let's go all the way to it. PETA. Animal rights, people, all that. Animals have to have water 24 hours a day. It has to.
Yeah.
When I'm traveling and I got animals on my trailer, if I'm stopping somewhere or I'm going to be somewhere overnight, I've got to make sure there's... Well, I do it anyway because I want to. But if I got rolled up on by the man and my animal's just standing in the back of a trailer in the middle of the summer, they ain't got no water. Well, they don't have any water.
He might be in trouble.
That's a big no-no.
Yeah, you get a ticket for that, right?
Yeah.
But here's the problem. They said the fire was unable to be under control because the lack... of
water.
Water. They actually had to send several people running back and forth to go gather water and have it delivered to them.
That's weird.
What?
Did they not have water like they were supposed to start with?
Look at this picture of this big ass facility. Excuse my language, Mom, if you're listening.
Yeah, that should have this building, sprinkler system.
This building not only, I guarantee you, has several pumps, generators, motors, moving water through the facility for the birds to drink, I guarantee you it has a fire suppressant system.
Insurance scam.
And a big-ass water hose. All right? And they had to get seven trucks. And isn't it convenient I'd like to find out if all the semis get destroyed. Look how close. You see all the buildings that are not on fire?
Mm-hmm.
And in the picture, I know this is radio. I'm sorry. You have to look the story up yourself. It's on kutz.com TV or something. Kutz.
KUTV.com.
There you go. KUTV.com.
Or you could just Google 120,000 chickens killed in fire.
Oh, you're a smart producer.
I am. Thank you.
The fire is conveniently located next to the parking lot where all the semis are.
Oh.
Mm. Just remember that.
Dun, dun, dun.
Took 60 firefighters.
What did I miss there? What do you mean?
If all the semis catch on fire, I don't know. The story just talks about the building. If any of the semis were damaged, now they can't transport feed, hatchlings, new chickens.
They're all dead anyway.
But they're going to have replacements, Heather.
Okay.
This is just one more thing in the supply chain that ain't there no more. This is the hilarious part. Fire Marshal Wynn says... Fire Marshal Bill. Remember that? Fire Marshal Bill? What we have here? A failure to communicate. What we have here is a failure to communicate.
Oh, my God. That's right. That's what he did.
The cause of the fire.
It didn't watch in living color.
Amy's first day back.
It's been a while.
Oh.
This has been a while for me, too. It's been a while. So I said, I'm sorry. Fire Marshal Wynn says, the cause of the fire will be under investigation for several days. Done with this story.
Never mind.
Holidays that are still on the books that might just anger some people. But first, Governor DeSantis is a rock star governor. This is the idiotic, insane, asinine world we live in. All right, can I say asinine on the radio?
You can.
Two stories we got.
I guess.
Proud.
Yeah, it's a word.
A proud race trader who is also a man. In a leotard with a dong showing. There's a dong print on the bottom of that blue leotard. I wish we had video here.
Oh, goodness.
But you're missing the best part of that picture.
He's holding two babies.
No, there's...
He's in front of a Black Power Panther flag, and he's white guy.
Pregnant.
Yes, he's holding his
He's
belly.
Not really pregnant. That's a pillow or something.
But, yeah, or a...
Oh, no, Jonathan, spoilers. You're adorable.
He's not really pregnant.
Yes, he is.
Men can't get pregnant.
Okay, fine.
It's a whole, listen, this white dude with glasses looks like.
He's 60 years old.
It looks like it puts the lotion on the skin. Or it gets the hose again.
I don't understand the context. He
don't even match.
No.
He don't even look good.
It doesn't look good.
It's all blue. He Y'all, matches.
But he's got black
but
doofy
what is
shoes
the
on.
Point?
Yes, tell us the point, Jonathan.
Terrence K. Williams apparently is a
influencer.
Producer, an influencer. I thought he lived in Lake Mary. No. I was like, hey, Amy, that's your friend on Facebook from Lake Mary. She's like, dang, I don't know what you're talking about. I was like, yeah, okay, you.
But Terrence is the one who posted the picture. The picture is not of Terrence. Just no. throwing that
pictures
out there.
Pictures not of Terrence. Pictures of a white dude. He's holding two babies. Holding a light-skinned mixed baby. And then down at the bottom, he's not holding a second child with long, beautiful black hair. She is a cocoa-ish type skin color baby. I would say she's African-American.
Okay. Wait, are these real babies or are these dolls?
Come on, why do you got to ruin everything?
They're baby dolls. Details.
So there's a dude in a picture, got two flags. Proud race trader. Black baby factory. That's what the flag says.
Right,
It
yes.
says the black baby factory. And then it says over here, black quad Barbie. All right? And then it says in the circle... It's a black woman that looks like drawn. She's all white, though. She's all white.
Right.
In her circle. And it says, the Black New World Order.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's got a black hand lifted up the American flag, showing, I guess, the Black Panther Party flag, the green, red, black flag. I don't know the colors of, I should know my Black Panther Party colors.
Is this person saying they identify as a black woman?
No, this person is saying, I am a proud race traitor.
Oh.
Says it right there on the flag. It's a white dude who identifies.
Traitor. Not traitor. T-R-A-I-T-O-R.
This ain't slave days. He ain't out there trading black babies.
That's what I didn't, okay.
He's a traitor. Listen fast.
I was going to ask why the chickens didn't fly away.
Why didn't the chickens fly away from the fire?
I don't know what's wrong with me today.
Did chickens not fly anymore?
Not when the little ass is on fire. Is that crispy? You got crispy chicken? Is that buffalo crispy chicken?
Yeah.
Proud Race Traitor. He's got a fake baby doll in his hand, a fake baby doll on the ground. He's got something in his belly. He forgot to cover up his impressive man bulge. That was a big old... Can I say the B word?
Goodness, no, please.
I can't say the B word. He got some testicles for days. He got old man testicles.
He's got Bruce testicles.
Yeah, testicles like a boar hog. All right? And he is... He has mental health issues.
I'm sorry, Mr. Man.
Governor DeSantis says police oversight has no place in a farm.
Amen.
This is the problem of the world we live in. This is why everything in the grocery store is going up. This is why you need your little asses whooped by your mom and daddies. And you need to go outside and do some yard work and learn to climb a tree and play and sweat and pass the president's challenge at school and learn how to do 100 push-ups and 100 sit-ups.
Amen.
Because there's a group of people saying, it's too hot out on the watermelon farms. And Governor DeSantis needs to pass a law giving police officers of the ability to go on the farms and regulate how long workers have to be in the sun. DeSantis said, not today, Satan. Not today.
Why? Like, the police officers don't have something better to do than regulate somebody's sun and digestion?
I have a question.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, these people who wanted a job and got the job in the watermelon fields, did they know it was outside?
I would imagine it's not them.
I
don't know. I would imagine it's some Karen somewhere riding by and be like, man, look at all them poor Mexicans out there picking up watermelons. They ought not have to work that hard.
It's kind of like the lady who said, oh my goodness, what are y'all doing to those cows at night?
Oh my gosh, yes.
What are you doing to the cows at night, Jonathan?
I got the law called on me.
Yes.
They brought the SWAT team out. I almost got arrested.
Okay, story time.
SWAT team shows up at Lake Mary at our butcher shop. Dude calls me, hey, Jonathan, that I know personally. Hey, Jonathan, you need the SWAT team's on the way to you. I was like, for what? They're like, you got a warrant for animal cruelty. I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, look, go out back. They're in the alleyway. You need to get on the phone with the state of Florida right now. So I go out back, and I'm like, guys, what is going on? They're like, man, we got an active investigative warrant for you. I said, what does that mean? They're like, well, we're not really, like, taking you to jail, but we have to apprehend you, put you in custody, take you down to the station so the state of Florida can investigate and interview you because you refuse to cooperate. I was like, what are y'all talking about? About that time, the state lady pulls up in her truck, and she's like, I've been calling you for 3 days. And I was like, ma'am, no, you haven't. I don't know what you're talking about. I was like, I got my phone right here. She's like, watch, I'm going to call you. So she calls it. My phone rejects spam call. It said it right there. It said rejected spam call. And okay. I was like, man, my phone rejects spam calls. She's like, well, this is a state number. I was like, well, that's not my fault.
Right.
So the guy goes, man, it's not his fault. It's not his fault. They're like, you need to take back the warrant. She's like, no, I'm not until we get to the bottom of this. I was like, can somebody tell me what's going on? So a little old lady who buys meat from us.
She's our customer.
And she has said to us before, if it wasn't for your fillets being so good, I wouldn't buy whatever you do to them cows at night. I hear them all night. I mean, you be like mowing and walking around and doing what cows do.
Does she live on your farm?
She lives across the street from me.
Okay, yeah.
So
okay.
Our farm is the last farm in Lake Mary. There's an Eagles Crossing is next to our farm on Humphrey Road, and it's a pretty big subdivision now. So cows holler. They move. We have black bears that run up and down Soldiers Creek. We have bobcats that go up and down Soldiers Creek. The cows get spooked. They move. They holler.
Coyotes,
they do things, right? She hears noises. She called the state of Florida 3 times in 3 days about I was doing something inhumane, some sexual act or some barbaric act. Yeah, it was like barbaric act, sexual act, religious act, something to my cows at night because she could hear them all night hollering and screaming and mooing. Well, they couldn't get a hold. They couldn't get, go ahead.
Go ahead.
And then they went out one day and there wasn't no hay on the ground. And the lady's like, oh, yeah, he must be starving them for some sacrifice. I'm like, what? No, you fat cows up before you sacrifice
them. This is a true story, Heather.
So I'm in the back alleyway, and finally I convinced the lady that nothing's going on. I have to show all my receipts of all my hay I buy, all my feed I buy, how many times I go out there. I get my guy Kevin on the phone that goes out there every day to check on the cows. And then I was like, oh, by the way, was this a little bitty old lady that had a little chihuahua dog? And they just saw, because you know, they're not allowed to tell you. And they're like, I was like, yeah, she shops with us. She's crazy.
Yes.
And so she's still shopping with you?
Yes.
Yes. Oh,
so boy. They took the warrant back. They didn't arrest me. It was an investigative warrant. Just something they just wanted to take me down to talk. But yeah, that kind of stuff happens.
Yes, but because she's so
loud. I'm
kind
of glad they checked, though.
So real quick, listen. NATO just got involved with Russian airstrikes. Okay? I'm sorry to cut y'all off, because we only got a couple minutes left. We got one more segment. Oh, we got one more segment. Never mind. Let the party continue, ladies. I thought we were done. Florida Man Radio, Jonathan Morris, police oversight.
Not today, Satan.
Armor. Getting you back between the ribs with Jonathan Morris on Florida Man Radio.
I just need you to get real loose. Get comfortable.
We'll do the hobbly wobbly.
I know this.
Grab your loved one.
You know this one?
I grab your love partner. Partner. And if you're by yourself, no worries.
You can do it alone.
Just follow after me.
Yeah. I want to do the two-step and cowboy boogie.
Florida seeing two more recent incidents of state government under Republican Ron DeSantis limiting the power of local government with newly signed bills that deal with worker safety and police oversight. Worker safety and police oversight should not be in the same sentence unless it's something inhumane or barbaric or sexual harassment, right?
Right.
When you sign up to take your candy ass to work on a farm, you ought not complain that it's hot and you're outside and it's dirty.
That's kind of a given.
You went to work on a farm.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, am I crazy?
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
Oh, whoa, Heather. Wait, call the Maitland Police Department.
Why?
You've had to press that button like 92 times down there on the radio show. Shouldn't have to press that button on the keyboard that many times.
Well, I've also been coughing, so I have to turn myself off every now and then.
Oh, is that the cough button?
No. Well, for me.
I was being facetious. I'm on fire. Yeah, I'm going to get the police down here. You haven't read one text today.
Okay. Not to you. I've read them.
Oh, I'm glad you're keeping our audience informed with my responses. The bill that my buddy Uncle Ron signed is one of the hottest. Florida obviously is one of the hottest states in the country, right?
Oh, yeah.
So local governments will be banned from requiring heat and water breaks for outdoor workers. Now, let me tell you how this works in reality. I used to cut cane, walk behind a cane crew. I've planted collard greens. I've dropped planted cane. I've mechanically planted cane. I've harvested cane. I've picked corn. I've cut cabbage. Oh, my goodness. What else have I done? I've thrown watermelons.
We've done all of it.
Mangoes.
Green beans.
Green beans.
Hand, not mechanically.
Right.
Okra.
Yes.
Squash, zucchini.
Well, I'm not talking, but I'm talking about what I used to get paid to do. Other than just like doing for myself or Morris Family Farms. Like I used to work on other farms and we would get paid to go bring in crops.
Right.
You get paid by the box. Yes. The workers get paid by the box. The cantinas that come up, the mobile trucks, the food trucks, whatever you want to call them, when they come out to the farms, you get caught on the turn row. That's how it happens. You pee, you poop, you wash, you spit, you smoke. You drink, you fight, you eat on the turn row. And then you get back to work.
The women would wear skirts and just use the bathroom.
Dirty Haitian.
Because
women.
they didn't have time. But you know what? That's why people are too good to do that kind of work.
Yeah.
They're like, we're not going to work by the box. So you have to bring people in who will, because that work is fast. You have to get it done. There isn't, I'm going to do it later. I can only have this much time to do it. You have to do, when it's time to harvest, it's time to harvest.
I say kudos to Ron DeSantis because this isn't going to stop, but this is going to curtail some of the price fluctuations in grocery stores as we move forward, because there's other states that aren't doing this. There's other states that are putting in minimum wages that they got to make like $24 an hour.
Right.
And they got to do this, they got to do that, and they got to start getting overtime. I don't know if it was Arizona. I can't remember the name of the state. It was like they're going to start doing requiring overtime. Well, one of the ways the farmers can get a product to market is they know what it costs to produce the product.
Right.
So you don't have, when you walk into the grocery store, you don't have a row of regular green beans and a row of overtime green beans. There ain't no time to have green bean. There ain't no time to have squash or sweet corn.
Right.
You just got corn and sweet corn, right?
Right.
So when I was growing up and the way farming is, and it's still this way today for most places, you got paid by the piece. So we used to get $3 a 5-gallon bucket to pick peas or green beans.
Right.
Now it's like 7 or 8. All right, that's something that you just can't avoid. People aren't working for $3 a bucket no more. But the farmer knows it takes 2.5 5-gallon buckets, or maybe 1.5, because they're bigger buckets.
Right, to make a
they used to be smaller buckets. They were like 3-pound buckets. So A bucket and a half makes a bushel. So the farmer's like, all right, it cost me $11 to get that bushel picked. Cost me $3.50 to grow it. I got a dollar commission on sales. So we got to hit at least an $18 market to make any money. $4 a box doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're producing 400 boxes to the acre and you're growing 500 acres and you grow it every 60 days, it's money. It's not filthy rich money like people think. Farmers are filthy rich, but it's money.
Yeah.
In the old days, it used to cost us $6.75 to produce a box of green beans. That was labor, everything commission. Now it's at about $11 a box to hand pick. That's why they're going mechanical everywhere, because the machine don't care. It gets out there and it rolls, it eats. And the machines can still do it for about $6 a bushel.
But the machine destroys the plant in the process.
But nowadays, the people destroy the plant because they're so sorry and lazy.
They're pulling it up.
We hired people in Lake Mary to pick peas out in Sanford. Them some bitches were on the ground laying on their bellies. What are you doing?
Goodness.
They're like, boss, it's hot. I know it's hot. Get off the ground. You're destroying my plants. The reason we hand pick is so we can pick twice or three times. Right. Not for you to destroy the plants. I had another fool picking the plant up. He was sitting on his bucket.
Yeah.
I said, where do you put the beans? He's like, oh, I pile them up. So you're getting dirt all over them? I was like, the beans go in the bucket, man. He was sitting on the bucket, pulling the plants up, pulling the beans off the plant, making a pile, then scooping up the pile and putting it in his bucket.
And you got to remember, when we moved down here, Jonathan looked for people and he asked them, do you know what you're doing? Do you know, have you worked farm work? So these people are saying, yes, I know it. So Jonathan, they come prepared with water and food, go to the field. So the farmer usually leaves the workers in the field so he can go get hydraulic fluid or do whatever you need to do for the tractor.
Keep planting.
So when he comes back and he sees...
They're all laying on the ground.
Pulling the plants out of the ground, picking the bean off the plant, throwing the plant, putting the beans on the ground in a pile. He was like, what is going on?
We used to go out there and pick 1,000 boxes of beans by lunch. I had 9 people out there. All right.
Oh my goodness.
I get back like 2 hours later. Between all of them, they ain't got a bucket.
Well, we should have known when they didn't bring water.
They didn't bring no water, no food. I'm like, Amy, you got to go get these fools some sandwiches and some something. Go to Subway and get them something to eat because ain't none of them got any food. And then they're like, the one guy's like, hey, man, you made $4. He's like, what? I've been out here all day. I was like, you made $4, man. I'm sorry, I can't help you.
Bucket.
They never came back, of course. All right. But it's the insanity of it. My goodness. Oh, the people I met when I moved to Central Florida. But this is something that, so Miami-Dade, right, somebody in Miami-Dade County, it comes from a very liberal person in Miami-Dade. And they're throwing out numbers about the estimates that 325,000 workers work outside, and the climate's changed, and it's hot. Oh, it's actually Victor Torres, a Democratic state senator, Victor Torres. We'll just say his name. He wants to lead a campaign requiring farmers to have portable shade, construction shade made on farm and other outdoor equipments for the workers.
A portable shade? You mean a hat?
No. Yeah, there you go. A straw hat. Yeah. So you see how the harvest wagons had to go through the field? So they're the tractor pulling that.
Right.
He's talking about every farmer has to start building big wings off the trailer so the guys in the field can stand underneath it. So how many rows can you pick at a time? Do you understand the cost effectiveness or the lack of cost effectiveness? So right now in this apparatus looking, you got 4 guys on each side. They're probably carrying 10 rows at a time. But if that wagon had to have shade on it and a water trough on it, that means you can't have as many watermelon bins on it, right? And then that means it can't turn like it needs to turn around because it's so wide with all that shade stuff. The farmers would go broke. Thank you, Governor DeSantis. Holidays that would make you mad that it's still on the ballot. This was crazy to me. Yesterday was Confederate Memorial Day of Florida. Did anybody know that?
No, that's not. Is that Mexican?
I had no idea.
That was not Confederate. I don't even know.
That was Looney Tunes.
I think the Mexican people are mad at you right now. You sound like a racist Confederate. You're racist ass Confederate. What's wrong with you white people?
Oh, you are so right.
I'm leaving this show. There's too many white people on this show.
Oh, my goodness.
April 26th was Friday. Florida's Confederate Memorial Day is still on the books. Why does Florida still celebrate it, and what does it mean? The reason I'm bringing this up is to piss a lot of people off.
Oh, boy.
I just wanted to do this for fun. But actually, I'm doing it for educational purposes.
Okay.
There's a lot of states that have a lot of holidays. that are still on the books that we don't know about. Now, we all know what happened with St. George Floyd, and, you know, and I'm not going to lie. There are a lot of young black people that got killed very unjustly at the hands of white people.
Yes.
But there's also a lot of black people that get killed by black people, and a lot of black cops that kill black kids, and black cops that kill white kids.
And white people kill white people.
And white people kill white people. But this has been highlighted, and the biggest topic, the biggest conversation piece, if you will, is nobody celebrates the losing team. The South lost. We don't have time to get into the whole war. It wasn't just about slavery. They made it about slavery because they had to make it about slavery.
Because nobody agrees with slavery.
Because nobody agrees with slavery. And the few, I shouldn't use the word few. I'll get reprimanded for that. But the people in the South, by the way, there were slaves in Ohio. There were slaves in West Virginia. Right? Don't get it twisted. It wasn't Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, Alabama. Now, I know there was a lot of bad stuff in Alabama, a lot of stuff, bad stuff in Montgomery, a lot of bad stuff
only
in Mississippi.
Hear about the bad stuff.
Right? But Ohio is one of the farthest northern states you can get to, and it is one of the most reddest, Confederate, if you will, racist states in the entire union. Right. Okay? Just want to throw that out there for all you people that are uneducated. And I understand the theology of nobody celebrates the losing country, right? You lose a war, you don't get celebrated. Only the winners get the trophies. But Lawton Childs had this to say. He made a proclamation back in 1998. And this is why I'm saying, don't hate because of your discriminate. Don't hate because you discriminate on things you don't like. Understand history and why it's here for us.
Yes.
History should not be a mystery. Lawton Childs made a proclamation in 1998, and it said, save Southern heritage. That's what Lawton Childs said, Governor Lawton Childs. We study the war between the blue and gray for the same reason we study all wars, with a view to understand the historical events which compelled them, so that we may continue to live together and seek to avoid future conflicts.
Amen.
Now, I understand there's a lot of bat crap crazy people in a lot of bat crap crazy places that are like, man, I love me some General Lee. And I love me some this guy and some that guy.
But they probably couldn't even tell you why they loved him, you know?
No, they don't. And I think Hank wrote a song, If the South Had a Won. Right?
Right.
Don't get it twisted. Your history should not be a mystery. Get educated. By the way, NATO just got involved. Poland's Air Force just responded to Russian airstrikes, and the second Haitian prime minister is now gone, forced to resign so he didn't get killed. Florida Man Radio, Between the Ribs with Jonathan Morris. Hey, catch me on Tuesday, the Shannon Burke Show, 4 to 6. I'm out of here.